Blog Talk Radio.
Show here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Mary Brown, coming to you live from a sweltering Amarillo, Texas, 103 degrees right this moment. Lord have mercy. I'm going to be joined shortly. In fact, let's bring him on right now, my incredible co-host, who is the CEO of the Tarot Guild. He is a tarot teacher, a numerologist. He does it all. Dax Carlisle. Dax?
Yes, I am. How's it going? Another Psychic Saturday.
Yes, happy Psychic Saturday. It is ha-cha-cha where I am. How's things in Tucson? Are you boiling?
Well, we're going.
Like we are.
Oh, yeah. We're going into our monsoon season, and so it's on and off, sweltering days mixed with heavy rains and storms. And it's actually kind of quiet right now, but this whole weekend it's going to hit as high as 117, I heard.
Ah, that's crazy. I guess before we get into anything else, I guess I should tell the folks what we do on this show. We do open lines. We'll be taking your calls for free tarot mini readings, or if you have a question or just want to shoot the breeze about the topic today, the call-in number is 714-816-4628. That number again is 714-816-4628. You can call in, and when you call in, be sure to press 1 on your dial pad that raises your hand so we see you on the switchboard. When I say we, I mean Dax. And our topic today is the question we are most asked of tarot. That's going to be a fun one. What do you think?
Yes, I wanted to do something fun. Actually, the next two shows, like, you know, is, oh, shoot, I can't even remember the title of next week's show. It, you know, is tarot ruining your life?
Yes.
I thought we'd do, you know, do something fun, some, you know, tongue-in-cheek kind of questions and topics and things like that.
We gotta have fun here, people, right? Mm. I mean, don't we need some fun in our lives? Get it where you can. That's what I'd say. So, Dax, what is the most asked question that you get about tarot when you tell people? First of all, can I ask you a question? Do you put it out there? Do most people who introduce yourself as a tarot reader? Because I think there's questions we get from students, questions we get from clients, and then I think there's questions we get when people find out that we're a tarot reader.
Right. Yeah, that was sort of where I was going with this, that there's, you know, it depends. You know, it's like there actually isn't one question, because there's all these different questions coming at you from different perspectives, I think is what it is. You know, and I mean, I don't run around with a name tag, Dax Carlisle, tarot advisor. You know, I mean, I'm not in the tarot closet. And people,
right.
you know, people find out here and there different ways, and you know, they approach me and ask me about it and things like that. You know, especially like, you know. If they see it on Facebook and then I'm at the local club and they're, you know, and they ask me, or I had a reading with a friend, or I did a reading
right.
for a friend, and that friend, you know, is sitting there in the bar and like, oh, there's Dax. He did this great tarot reading for me. He does tarot, you know, that's
yeah.
normally how it spreads. I don't introduce myself as a tarot reader. Actually, if asked in that direction, and I'm not at a place where I know everybody, and you know, you're mingling, you're learning, you're meeting new people, I introduce
yeah.
myself as a life coach and a hypnotherapist. I don't mention
well,
tarot.
Because you do that as well, yeah. So yeah, I
right right. And by the way, I want to mention.
It.
I'm sorry. I wanted to mention something real quick. Yeah, let me just mention real quickly that. By the way, those are the two big things, hypnotherapist and tarot reader. If you're at a party or a celebration or a bar mitzvah or a wedding, or you're at a club that you've never gone to with a bunch of friends or whatever, you know, the instant you say that you're a tarot reader or say you're a hypnotherapist, you are instantly the most interesting person in the room.
Right. Unless there's an astronaut there, that's the only thing that beats it.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's like, oh, rocket scientist, not a big deal. We got a hypnotherapist. Because
yeah.
people just love this stuff. And, you know, there's the questions and the kind of questions like we all know about, where people ask the death card. Does that really mean someone's going to die when the death card comes up? What about the tower card? You know, does that always
right.
mean some unexpected disaster? You know, these kind of,
yeah.
I don't know what to call them, like informational kind of thing. Okay.
Sure.
But here's the question that, I most often asked in a situation where people just found out that one of the things I do is read tarot. The first thing out of their mouth is, do you believe in that shit?
Right,
or,
right, right.
Or maybe not so drastic. Maybe it's just, do you believe in that kind of stuff? You know, and that's why I got the idea to do this show is that because it leads to this pervasive thing that seems to be going on with people in general, that everything seems to be belief-based. Have you noticed that? That in order
yeah.
to accept something or subscribe to something or whatever, it's like, do you believe in that? You know, I mean –
yeah.
To me a lot of this stuff is self-evident. It's like gravity. Take gravity. You know, it's like, oh, look, I just jumped down and there was gravity,
yeah.
and someone goes, do you believe
do you
in
believe
that
in
stuff?
Do you believe in gravity? Yeah, it's
yeah,
strange.
Yeah.
It's like, and often I think that it's become this thing where people are, they're not even thinking about it. They're not thinking about what they mean when they use the word believe or what that really means, you know, because there's a lack of discernment in the language that we use, especially, I don't know, lately. It's what it feels like. And yeah, belief is like used all the time. It perplexes me. I've thought about this a lot. I hear it all the time, and I just think, like,
mm-hmm.
what?
Oh, I got
gravity one. Gravity is a perfect example. Yeah.
I got another one for you. Face masks. Do you believe that stuff?
really work?
Do you believe in face masks? And it's like, well, I have seen them, so I have evidence of them. I believe they exist. You know, like, I mean, I feel like, why are we asking if we believe in something? It's like wearing a face mask isn't joining a religion or a political party, man.
Mm-hmm.
Chill out. Just
well, and the other
right
thing
there.
To me, I don't believe anything. Because belief is like...
Fascinating.
How do you not believe in anything? Okay, let me explain. So belief is akin to, you know, faith. And a lot of
right.
people have blind faith. And the whole thing with belief is, if you believe something, you're saying that, well, I don't really know, but I kind of
right.
think that, you know.
Right.
And it's so pervasive in our language that me, someone that doesn't believe in anything, and I'll explain what I mean in a second, I still get stuck with that in my head. In other words, you know, I'll go, well, I believe blah, blah, and I have to catch myself. So I try really, really hard not to use that word because it's so pervasive
yeah.
in our vocabulary. That's why I
yeah.
wanted to do this show to show the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't believe in things. I either have experienced it or I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I try to, with tarot, it's not believing whether it works or not. It's you use tarot for 3 decades and experience it and know it works. It's not believing, it's knowing.
Right. Yeah.
That's my whole point. Yeah. And it goes along with a lot of different things. And, you know, some of the spiritual teachers and gurus I listen to, I watch a ton of YouTube, folks, and I watch everything from science and technology to gurus from India to Eckhart Tolle. I mean, you name it, I pay attention to it, you know, because I want to get all these different views on things. And so a lot of them talk about that, you know, that
yeah. Yeah,
what I was trying to say was that they talk about how not knowing and just saying I don't know is so powerful because it opens up all possibilities then, and then you can experience. Whereas if you say I believe something, which means I think something is true, but I don't know. and what
yeah.
you do is you set up self-fulfilling prophecies. You block yourself off from additional information. You set up what's the name of that they use a lot nowadays? It's a type of bias. Confirmation
bias.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
setting up confirmation bias. I can't say it bias. So like if you subscribe to there's a, you know, God floating in the sky, or you're over here and you subscribe to evolution happens without any spiritual intervention or consciousness, you're setting up a confirmation bias. Amygdala, I think it's the amygdala, in the center of the brain there, the reticular activating system will
mm-hmm.
filter. It'll filter out things that don't prove or support your hypothesis or theory. That's what a belief is. A belief is a hypothesis or theory that hasn't been proven. Whereas experience, that's why I call myself a Gnostic, a modern Gnostic, but a Gnostic, because Gnostic means gnosis. It means direct experience of the divine, and that's what I'm about. We did a whole show yesterday about discovering your true self and meditation and going inside for the answers rather than out there, you know, and that's direct experience. of the divine versus reading in a book or somebody tells us, you know, oh, this is what we believe. There's that word again, you know.
Yeah.
We have faith, you know, and it's
right.
true with
it's
everything, including numerology and tarot. I cannot explain to you 100%. I have ideas. I have hypotheses. It's not a belief. It's a hypothesis that hasn't been proven or disproven. I have these ideas about how tarot works, how numerology works, because I've studied quantum physics. I've studied sacred geometry. I see the connections. I understand chaos theory. I actually think that that's what's going on with tarot. But it doesn't matter that I don't know exactly how the mechanism with numerology works or with tarot, but I have experience that it works, you know, 10,000 clients later.
Right. Well, you know, look,
what about
you? It's like, I think it's, you know, when I think of belief, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like that sort of like accepting that something is true, that confidence, that trust, that faith in something. And, you know, that's one thing, but I feel like tarot isn't really like even, doesn't even like fit the question or the statement in a way when people ask it. And they do ask it a lot. Do you believe in that? You know, it's like, to me, it's like, if you believe in anything, you believe in yourself and your ability to comprehend it and to interpret it and to translate it, to give it, give a reading for somebody. So to me, it's like, if there's belief in it, it's belief in myself, you know, and not belief in the tool or the medium, you know, or the tarot's the pathway I choose in order to do divination. You know, I choose others as well, but, you know, I think, you know, so yeah, but I don't know. I think that's the problem is, like, that's the basis really of science and of every advancement that we've made. Somebody had to inquire. Somebody had to admit that they didn't know something and say, let's investigate. Let's see what evidence we can pile up for wherever it leads us, you know. Is this true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this not true? Does it seem true based on what? And a lot of times with science, it's like, so far, this is holding up, you know. So it's like a different kind of thing. And I kind of approach the idea of belief that way in my own life, that it's like, okay, you know, so far, I think this is how it works. I'm not in a position to say, hey, you know, here's exactly how the spiritual realm works. Here's exactly how tarot works. I don't think anyone has that answer. And that's what excites me about it, because the door's always open to learn more about it. If you have an open mind, you can have a belief, but then you can't, you know, have tunnel vision. You know, that's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be open. You know, if you really trust in something, then it should be able to stand up. And if it doesn't, then you should be able to question it. And that, to me, is true with tarot, with whatever thing you use. But I don't think tarot is something you believe in or don't believe in. I think it is more about believing in yourself. And tarot is a method or a modality that you use.
Right.
But doing all the work, really.
That's right, yeah. And I've got something about science, but real quick, I wanted to say that the phone lines are wide open, and we're going to be taking calls as well. So give us a ring at 714-816-4628. As soon as you get through, press 1 on your dial pad. That's 714-816-4628. So if you're listening live, jump in now, get your spot early. And, the scientific method, Mary, going back to that, and that's what you're supposed to do. But unfortunately, even with science, they're starting to get into this bias thing, you know, where they have beliefs, you know, a lot of the things that we hold as a scientific truth is actually still at the point of hypothesis. It has never been proven 100% yet, but we automatically, because it's talked about a lot, you know, we accept it as reality, you know. And there's that famous Einstein quote, science without religion is lame and religion without science is blind. And there was another one. I don't know if it was Einstein or somebody else, but they basically, I can't remember what it was exactly, but they basically said that until science starts exploring and incorporating beyond our, you know, the reach of our five senses, like consciousness, that they're, you know, they're never going to get the complete answers to the different questions and hypotheses that are out there, because they're not including the whole a huge chunk of what's really going on. So that's,
and they do that. They've started to do it, but you're right. It's kind of, that's not, like, I think it's very hard when people do scientific you know, studies on things like consciousness. I think that you know, it's like they're kind of put at the bottom of the ladder as far as like what gets published and what gets out there.
Problem
too, because it's, I don't know, sometimes I think, are they afraid of blowing our minds? I mean, I think we're kind of already open.
No, that's actually it. Actually it. I mean, you know, what's taught at university level is very different from what's taught, let's say, in, you know, elementary school, middle school.
Oh, yeah.
And what's talked about in the media. You know, when we were growing up, we learned about the atom. And we learned about, we got the proton and the neutron. I still remember we used to put together
those
styrofoam
balls.
Remember the styrofoam balls? Yeah. Okay, so one day. Right. And so one day, our science teacher and us, we go out onto the playground, and he's holding a bunch of those balls, and he's saying, okay, so if this is the nucleus of the atom at this scale, then the electron is out there miles away circling around us, you know. And so, you know, the inference was that there's this vast empty space in the atom, right? But as far as the structure goes, you know, you got your atom, you got your it's like a little mini solar system. You've tons of your neutrons, and you got the electron going around, you know, like we go around the sun. Then you get in university and you discover, oh, actually, there isn't an atom like that. That these particles are not actually there flying around. They pop in and out of existence out of something called the zero point field, the quantum field. You know, and you're like, whoa, what? And they don't talk about this on. The nightly news. You know, they don't talk about it on the talk shows. It's the same thing with consciousness. You know, consciousness research is about 20 years ahead of what we're still thinking consciousness is. You know, even hardcore neurologists and neuroscientists will tell you that, you know, for years now, most of them realize that memory and consciousness probably don't really reside in the brain, that it actually resides in a field outside of the physical body. But they don't talk about that because it people would freak out and it's too advanced.
They don't talk about it. And then also, I will say this, I hate to say it, but most people I will say, I'll take a wild guess out there, but I'll take a wild guess that most people do not keep up with things either. They don't do their own inquiry. A lot of people are operating on what they learned in elementary school, they learned in high school, you know, or back when I was in college 30 years ago. And, you know, science is ever changing. Every bit of it, our world, it changes the constant, right? And everything. Mm-hmm. So what we knew back then, we know more better about now, and we've learned that some of those things didn't really hold up over time. You know, but people, the average person, isn't going to keep educating themselves. And I think that's a tragedy. The information's out folks.
I'm constantly doing that and learning things. You know, most people were taught early on, you know, that there's these constants in mathematics and in science. The speed of light is fixed at this rate, you know, and that's how we can calculate, you know, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, the big Einstein formula. But guess what, folks? In recent decades, they figured out that the speed of light is not constant, that it actually changes.
No!
I know. Yeah, we should go on the streets with our microphones and ask, like, 150 people. It's like, is the speed of light constant? You know, and I guarantee you, 99% of them are going to say, oh, absolutely. You know, it's a constant fact of the universe, you know. But, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about this, the question we're most often asked. And, you know, I didn't even ask you, Mary, what the question – you might have already answered this, you know, the question you're most often asked. But the question I'm most often asked is this thing, you know, do you believe in that stuff? And it's like, it's not about believing in it. It's about – using it and experiencing it, and then you know versus believe. What about you? Is there? I mean, I'll give you the same question you gave me. You know, run around at parties. Hi, I'm Mary Brown, a tarot reader, and a crystal hand.
I'm the tarot reader. No, I don't. I really don't. But I do occasionally. I just feel like if it comes up, if it comes down to it, if it's, you know, I will, you know, if I'm talking to a bunch of civilians, right, you know, then I will, you know, like not fellow, you know, if I'm at a Reiki circle or I'm at a psychic fair, then you know, it's just kind of, there's a level of like community, you know, and people understand what it is and they don't think a bunch of outrageous things, right? But I live in the most conservative congressional district in the United States, and the buckle of
God
the Bible belt
you.
Here. And so people, you know, the kind of questions I get, I don't go around introducing myself, but a lot of times people will hear about it or kind of like what you were saying, and they'll know about it. And the question I hear the most is, can I, you know, I'm really interested in that, but, you know, I'm a Christian, so I don't know. I don't know if I should be doing it. Because it's kind of like that kind of community, right, where I live. So that's always a really interesting question, because it's like I feel like, one, I don't think, you know, if your church, you know, there are some churches that are against it, there's some Christian churches that embrace it, you know. If you're a member of, a religion that, you know, has come out against it, you know, and saying, no, it's the devil's work or whatever, then, and you want to do it and you don't agree with what your religion is saying about it, then I think you need to take some time and really examine that. Because I don't think it has to be a crisis of faith to learn tarot. I really don't think it has to be at all.
No.
And I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, studying the, like, religious symbolism and the history of the tarot can kind of help answer some of those questions when you can, like, learn how it came about and you can see, you know, a lot of the familiar things in it. But, you know, ultimately, no, because you can have whatever faith you have, whatever religion you have, and you don't, it's not required that you, you know, believe in tarot. You know, like you said, it's not a religion you're joining by doing that. Mm-hmm. So there doesn't have to be a conflict, but if you belong to a church that has, you know, explicitly come out against it, then you need to examine that conflict first, because you don't want to start any practice or anything on the basis of secrecy, right? So you have to figure mm-hmm. that out, I think, first. But yeah, that's like the number one question I get from people who are just, you know, I meet for the first time and they know I'm a tarot reader, you know, so it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of tarot has, especially as far as the Christian religion, there's actually a lot of Christian symbolism,
iconography,
in a lot of the decks. And for instance, the Hierophant used to be called the Pope originally.
Yeah.
Going back hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, and there's just and even the more modern, you know, the Rider Waite Smith being the most common, but it's actually 100
yeah.
years. I mean, more than 100 years old.
Yeah,
it's like 120 years, 110 years, something like that. I think we just had the 100th year anniversary. However, it's relatively a modern deck. Think about it,
yeah.
Because the history of tarot goes all the way back to the 1400s. So, Waite and Smith create this, you know, deck, which becomes the more famous deck in the modern
yeah.
era. But when you look at it, Waite really put a lot of Christian symbolism in it. You know, I mean,
yeah.
the Ace of Cups is basically, you know, the Jesus chalice, you know, it's the Holy Grail.
The Holy
basically.
Grail. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
things like that. Yeah. So I don't see how it's, you know, what's the phraseology for it? How it, you know, would, it's not, I don't see how it's not compatible. You know, it's got Christian
yeah.
symbolism in it. Come on. You know, I just don't see that. Anyway,
yeah.
But, you know, fun stuff to think about and talk about.
Absolutely.
I see people getting on the caller lines now. It was crickets in the beginning of the show, no callers.
Mm-hmm.
But now people are starting to get into the queue, so I guess we can take some phone calls.
Well,
but before we do that, I wanted to see – or ask you, you know, what's coming up on the network?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the bottom
we
of the
let
hour.
Every...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this week coming up here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network, our next show is going to be tomorrow, July 12th at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And it's the Magic Universe Show with your host, Sharona Rapsik. And she's going to have a special guest on, Jesse Driscoll, who created the Crystal Skull Tarot. So that's going to be really interesting. And then on Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, it's the Wisdom of the Soul Show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And next up, Wednesday, July 15th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance Hour with your host, Catherine Hahn. She's going to do part two of her series, The True and Authentic You. And then Dax will be back with Dr. Rose Wilkerson on the Doctors Are In show on Friday, July 17th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And their topic is shamanic journeying. The Middle World. So that's going to be really cool. I'm going to listen in to that. And then you and I will be back next Saturday, same bat channel, same bat time, with the Tarot Today Show, where we'll be talking about, is tarot ruining your life? Plus taking your calls and giving free mini readings. And I think all of our shows are live call-in shows. So if you don't, if we don't get to you today, definitely you want to call in either Sunday for Sharona's show, Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, or you can wait a week and talk to us next Saturday. But that's what is coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. And you can find that list of upcoming shows by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming.
Awesome. A lot of fun stuff coming up. I can't wait for next.
It's going to be a great week.
I can't wait for next Saturday. Is Tao ruining your life? It might be. It might be.
I just get this image of, you know, a graphic with this woman pulling her hair out, you know, with like a cloud over, you know, with lightning coming out of it over her head. Is it ruining my life?
Yeah. Absolutely. So anything else before you want to go to phone lines?
No, let's do it. Let's see who's out there.
Okay.
What do they want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about? Let's see. Who's been waiting the longest? It looks like area code 215. Are you there, caller?
Hi. Yes, hi. How are you guys doing today?
Great. What's
Great.
Your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania. My name is Susan.
Pennsylvania.
Hi, Susan.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
I'm from Pennsylvania.
What part of Pennsylvania?
We're all from Pennsylvania.
I grew up outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. I'm closer to Philadelphia.
That's where I grew up.
Oh, in Philadelphia or near Philadelphia, like I did?
I was born in Philly and was there for a while, and then we moved to the suburbs and we moved up to Montgomery County, Hatboro, Horsham. Mm.
Okay, Hatboro is not too far from me. I live in Langhorne. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, not too far. Away.
It's PA yeah. Day. Ha ha.
I was wondering if you guys, I've been like, I don't know if it's because we're arrested and can't go out nowhere. And I feel like I'm getting depressed, and me and my fiance are arguing a lot. Do you see it changing by any chance?
Do we see that changing?
Yeah, like, I mean, I know everybody's, you know, with this pandemic going on and stuff, it's just, I don't know. I
sure.
guess the colors come out when you're locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that first happened, that's the first thing that went through my mind, Mary, was, you know, oh, my God, if you thought it was bad before, now that you're locked up in the house with him or her,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of divorces and
and a lot of babies, either divorces or
yeah.
babies.
Divorces
yeah,
or babies.
It's
going to
be a baby boomer.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Does the pandemic look like it's going to get any better? I mean, I know we're on a hell of a ride in the next few months. I know it's going to get worse than better, you know. And
oh, it's just up and down and crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Yeah, I'm getting, you know, the central focus card is the Two of Cups talking about the two of you. And like I've said to a lot of people, you got to look at the other side of the coin. You know, we all lock in on the negative side, and whenever anything negative is happening, something positive is also happening. We're just not seeing it, you know. And so, you know, people have lost jobs, people have been stuck home, companies have closed. I go, yeah, well, this is an opportunity to reinvent yourself. Take courses. I'm not saying this is specifically for you. This is stuff I've been saying to people. That you know that they can go out and you can reinvent yourself. You can reinvent how you work with your clients if you have a business. You know, make it all virtual. You could start a whole new business. You know, you could you know, you lost your job. Okay, well, find an online job. You know, you've always wanted to run your own business, selling Amazon products. Well, go do it. You know, I mean, the opportunities are vast. And the central focus card is this Two of Cups with, you know, you and him. And by the way, the healing emblem, it's got the angel Raphael and the healing angel, and it's got the Caduceus there. You know, there's an opportunity here to do the opposite of what you're experiencing. So, you know, it's a shift in perspective, a reframing. You're basically experiencing the one side of it, Susan. The other side of it is that this could be a time to come together for the two of you. It could be a time for you to rekindle things. Like Mary said, you know, instead of the divorce, the baby. Anyway, but
you don't want the baby.
No, but there's opportunities here to reinvent your relationship even. You know, make it better than it was before. Find things that you love doing in common that you can do even if you're in lockdown, let's say, okay? And a lot of the cards I'm getting are talking about thinking outside the box and especially also stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that's kind of what I see you guys needing to do, is to step outside. You're so entrenched in your normal ways of doing things, your normal processes, your schedules, what have you, that you're not taking advantage of this as an opportunity. Also, there's a project indicated. So something that you guys could do together and work on together, and that's going to help the entire situation if you were to
That's you hit it right on the nod about the project. We started the project. We started gutting out the bathroom. But during the week, I take care of my mom. She's 86. I go down and I clean her house and take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I babysit during the week. So I got a two-year-old running around. He's out doing stuff too. So really, Saturdays is the only time we have anything that we can spend our time together. But then it seems like his friend will call up and say, oh, he needs this done or that done. And then Sunday we got to go back to work because we clean offices too. So we're constantly going, but my project's not getting done. And this is what I think is upsetting me so much because, I'll say, for example, like this, hun, you got to clean off the back porch. There's just too much on. Okay. And I'll say it nicely for a couple weeks, hun, we really got to clean this porch. And then, like, his friend will call. Okay, I'll be right back. And then hours went by because whatever he's doing over there, working in the yard or whatever, it's too late to do anything. And then I get to the point where I'm ready to explode because it seems like what I'm asking you to do is not good enough, but when somebody else calls you up, it's good enough. And it's really upsetting me.
I see. Mary, what are you getting? Do you have any clues, any answers?
Wow. Okay. Well, you know, just looking at this relationship, you know, do we see it getting any better? Look, you know, the cards I get, I feel like it does get better. I feel like this is going to blow over, right? We have the Eight of Wands. You know, that's usually about when things happen pretty swiftly, but, you know, it's really kind of a card in harmony and directed action. Right, you know, things move swiftly. I think of arrows flying through the air, and they're all hitting the target, you know. And so, the other thing that comes up opposite that is the Fool card, which is terrific. You know, it speaks to opportunity, like Dax was talking about. In the center, I have the Ace of Cups. It's about love. Love's not a problem, is it? It's the darn back porch or whatever, you know. So look, I think that there's all the potential here. We end with the Knight of Cups. He's going to get it through his skull, what he needs to do to make you happy, I think, at some point. I think it's a matter of kind of switching the energy up, though, right now. you know, because you're getting frustrated. Everybody's got this added layer of kind of uneasiness with all this stuff going on, right? So, and we're all like, you know, we're all like ticking time bombs in our own way, where it's just like, where do we put that frustration? Where do we channel it to so that it doesn't wind up in conflict? And sometimes it's very difficult to do. But, you know, I do feel like if we can, if you can clear that frustration out in a positive way and bridge the differences, find that connection between the two of you. I think the love is there with the Ace of Cups and the Knight of Cups. Love's not the problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and I got
all
the two
this
cups.
Other stuff. Yeah, so you got the two of cups. I mean, so I think that absolutely this can shift in a much better direction. And I think emotional freedom technique tapping might be something helpful, or just looking up some Tai Chi videos on YouTube and doing that, move the energy in your body around. Don't let it build up like that, because we're all falling victim to that right now. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
We're all like, ah, you know, and one little thing will be like, you know, it's like we're arguing over soup all of a sudden. You know, it's like any thing.
Yeah. And that's what it feels like. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you. Dax, what do you think? Do you have more to add?
Well, yeah, just one thing. I did want to bring it back to the project and bring it back to these cards that's surrounding it, that are all about change and about thinking outside the box. You know, often on the show, we oh God, what's that noise? I'm sorry, I was hearing something in the background that was distracting me.
Yeah, it's my Ponarini. He's 17 and he's old and he's been coughing lately.
Oh, that's okay.
You know,
that's
he's a real old guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these cards that I'm getting, they're talking. They're all about thinking outside the box, you know. And we often give this. I like to quote the Einstein quote. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So you and your husband, you need to get on the same page, and you need to sit down and figure out, okay, this isn't working, so how do we do this differently? I mean, do we, like, go to sleep and set the alarm? We both wake up at 1 a.m., and between 1 and 2, we work on the project. We go back to sleep for a few hours every single night till it's done. Yeah, I know that's ridiculous. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just throwing out, you see how you can think of something completely outside of the box, you know, completely,
right.
You know, you would never think of doing that. Well, if you sit down and get on the same page about it and go, okay, we got to figure out, okay, you know, we've been trying to do this Saturday thing. It's not working. Okay. How do we do this? All right. You know, and just start throwing ideas out. You know, it's like, okay, well, we can, you know, pick a certain time here, or I can rearrange my schedule, this thing here, so that we have this time here. You know, it's all about thinking outside the box, Susan. That's the key. You know, taking a leap of faith and going in a completely different direction and trying something completely new. Because what you're doing right now isn't working, you see.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for
Thank
the call.
Thank you very much.
I hope that helped you out.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
All right, you guys. God bless you and thank you. Be safe.
Bright blessings to you. Have a good weekend.
I was just going to say enjoy the rest of your weekend, and it just popped in my head. Hey, it is Saturday. She better get working on that project.
It is. Yeah. Right. What is she doing?
Oh.
Wow.
That's funny.
So we've got some time left here. We can take a couple more calls. If we don't get to your call today, remember to call in tomorrow, because the fabulous Sharona Rapsik is going to be here. And I'm sure they'll be taking, even though she has a guest, they'll be taking calls on the show. great guest tomorrow, too. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That.
That'll be interesting.
Let's see. She's actually been lining up some great guests. I like it how, you know, it's Magic Universe is the name of her show, and she goes down a bunch of different alleys, so to speak. But she's doing a lot of tarot, which is really cool. I'm loving it.
Yes.
Let's see who's been
Me
waiting
too.
The longest. It looks like area code 225. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, 225. Are you there? Are you hearing anything, Mary?
I hear nothing. I hear
okay,
you.
At least I hear you.
I don't hear anything else. Yeah. I hear you too.
Okay, so we'll put them back on hold. And we'll go to 216. Area code 216. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, my name is Patricia. I'm calling from Ohio.
Oh, wow, right next to Pennsylvania. See, it's that whole
right.
area today.
Yeah, I love it.
How you doing, Patricia?
Busy. I'd like to find out. I'm really, I'm doing several things, and they all are important. I need to move out of this city and state one, and then, you know, obtain a bridge job and before I go there. And, of course, I'm not working now, and that was always an issue. Dealing with a lot of spiritual and psychic attacks, dark night of the soul type of issues. Mm. I know where I want to move too. But I want to find out, I'm living in a building that's part government funded, HUD owned it, home, part HUD owned or managed,
sure.
Whatever the heck it is. Is this little leasing manager, little employees on site, are they being sneaky and trying to get me out of this, my apartment, or evict me? I'm paying the lowest amount of rent, you know, because I have sporadic income. And I've been doing that for about, well, probably starting in fall of last year, September. And I have been just doing that, but like I said, obtaining consistent quality employment was difficult, and I did get a decent job that last week in February, and for about a couple of weeks for like 10 hours probably in each week, but
yeah,
the mandated state, you know, it became mandatory that everyone had to be in home sheltering. And, of course, I decided not to go back because it was a retail merchandiser, putting up cards, stocking birthday cards, Christmas cards.
So your main question is, do you feel like you want to know, are you going to be able to stay in that apartment, or are they trying to get you out of there, right?
Right. You know, are they being sneaky?
Okay.
Because I got some little notice last week. They want to see my 2018 and 2019 W-2s. And,
okay.
And it's like, okay.
Pretext, I guess I should go first. Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Sneaky?
I went first last time.
Right. So, look, you know, we do the card overlooking everything else is the Three of Wands. Three of Wands to me often is a card, it's the card of the observer. It's that idea of assessment. So, you know, by asking you for these forms, obviously they want to look at it. So it kind of makes sense that that card would come up. As far as, like, anything showing that they are trying to evict you or that that's a concern right now, I'm not really seeing it. What I see at the end of this is the Two of Swords. Now, Two of Swords is kind of interesting because there's definitely some tension with it, but it's also this sense of, you know, the figure sitting there has a blindfold on and her swords are crossed. Often we call it the card of stalemates or you know, kind of where nobody really wins. It's a card of mediation. Right. Can even be indecision sometimes. So it doesn't feel like that's what is going on here. It doesn't look like that kind of decision is being made at all. Mm-hmm. And we do have the Knight of Swords and the Fool card. So I don't get the feeling that that's what they're doing. There's a lot of other cards I would expect to see if that was the case. The Knight of Swords at the center, you know, it's like somebody acting on this idea. Maybe just one thing they're doing. Maybe they want everybody's information. It may not just be you. The other thing I would say, though, before we see what Dax got, is that you talked about this sense of being under, like, psychic attack, dark night of the soul, and surely your situation, as you described it, everything you're going through, we definitely put somebody in that place where it's hard to raise our vibration. And so I do want to say there are different things that you can do to kind of protect yourself better, maybe. You know, there's crystals you can use always. You know, some of the darker crystals like black tourmaline absorb negativity and have a protective quality. You can program a clear quartz to do that as well. But, you know, also I think whatever you can do to kind of shield yourself, envision a shield around you, call in Archangel Michael, whatever is going to resonate for you, where you feel like, okay, now I've got some defenses up against, you know, a psychic attack, energy attack, and I'm going to try to raise my vibration to help me recover better, recover quicker, recover more smoothly from this moment that I'm in right now. So just you know, some things to, you know, put a pin in and come to later and think about doing. And let's see what Dax is getting. Dax, what are you getting on her question?
Well, I took it at face value and just did a yes, no on it. And I got a strong yes that may actually be going on in the background. But the cards are saying it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter, that a new day is dawning, and that what you really should be doing is shifting your focus off of even giving that any thought, what they're trying to do, or what's going on, or if they ask for your W-2, whatever, who cares? Because you're not staying there, you know, you're moving, you know, and, you know, once you shift your focus off of this and onto everything is about how do I make this move, things are going to move pretty quickly. Like with the previous caller, Mary, you got the Eight of Wands. I got the Eight of Wands again. In fact, I got two eight cards. I got the Eight of Cups, got the Eight of Wands. Eight is abundance. And with the Eight of Wands, things are moving quickly. With the Eight of Cups, the individual is, you know, taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of so they can move onward and upward. And the central focus card is the Ten of Swords. This is a card of finality. It's basically the end of a cycle and a new cycle is beginning. The new day is dawning in the background of the card, even though everything looks horrific in the front, you know, the foreground, where you have the dark skies, you got these 10 swords shoved in this poor guy's back, you know, that he's laying on the ground. However, if you look really closely, for having, you know, it's total overkill, you know, who needs 10 swords to, you know, stab somebody in the back. But there's the funny thing is that, you know, this is rated G, because, you know, there's no blood or anything like that, you know, which means that it's not really what it seems, that Kading, how you know, how the situation appears right now, you know, but then in the, that's in the foreground, in the background, you've got a yellow sky. It's the new day dawning. It's the sun coming up, and yellow is the color of optimism, you see. So it's the central focus card is this. So it's telling you that, of course, everything seems like this now, you know, but it's going to be completely different once you move, you see. And that's where your focus should be. And that shifting, reframing all this into optimism is what's going to make it happen.
Yes, my focus definitely is on moving and applying
yeah.
to, you know, jobs and finding side gigs to just get me some money and then starting
mm-hmm.
my online business. So, yes, my thoughts are moving forward, but I have to keep my thoughts
right.
focused on when I'm dealing
with. That's what
you got
to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's interesting.
Yes.
And we're going to let you go, Patricia. I hope it, you know, really helped you out and that you have a great weekend there. But
yeah.
I did want to mention that it's interesting, Mary, though, that, you know, she laid all that out and she talked about the moving.
Yeah.
Getting the side gigs, getting then a permanent job where she moves and
yeah.
all these things. But then after she went through all of that and finally got to what's her question for us, it wasn't about that. It was about
what was going on, where she was. You know, and it's interesting too
yeah.
because it's like, you know, while you were doing your reading, I was just staring at this Two of Swords and thinking, like, you know, that's it. It's kind
mm-hmm.
of immaterial. That kind of turns into a stalemate anyways. The whole, are they being sneaky? Or are they trying to evict me or whatever? That doesn't, it's almost like you said, it's going to be irrelevant. If
yeah.
she shifts her focus and her focus is there. It's just a matter of keeping it there and taking the steps
sure.
necessary, right?
Well, you know, it just seemed odd to me, you know, that, you know, Patricia said that, yeah, my focus is on moving, my focus is on getting the job, my focus is on this. But then the question that she actually asks us is not the thing where we
yeah.
ask the tarot how to help her with moving forward with that, which is what's really important. Moving and jobs and what she really needs right now. Instead, she asks us about this irrelevant situation.
Well,
and,
dark night
and
of the soul, and so
the
fears surface. That's what happens.
Yeah, but see, you know, I find that it's this way with a lot of our callers where they say they're focused on that. But the evidence is pointing away from that. They're not really focused on what they should really be focused on, you see. Because why would your question be about this thing when it doesn't matter? You're moving from there anyway. Who cares if they're trying to evict you? Instead, you should be working on getting out of that building. And it takes me back to that Two of Swords that you got. It's almost like, okay, consciously I'm saying, yes, I'm all for this move. Yes, I'm looking for, you know, part-time gigs that's going to help me with this. Yes, I'm looking for where I want to move to and everything like that consciously, but that's not what's really going on subconsciously. Subconsciously, it's the Two of Swords. She's at a crossroads where she hasn't made that final decision at a subconscious level to move forward with this move. That's why I said, you know, you got to reframe it to, you know, that central focus card I had, the Ten of Swords. Oh my God, that looks terrible, you know. But in reality, you shift the focus from the foreground where all the negative stuff's happening and the dark clouds overhead and everything to the background where the color of optimism, yellow is coming up, the sun's rising, a new day is dawning. That means this cycle's ending, all this dark night of the soul kind of thing. That's all ending as long as you make that final decision to move forward with the move and just do it.
Yeah, because the other cards I got was the Sun card. You know, you talk about it being in the,
look at
the background. So there's a Sun card, but it, right next to it is the Knight of Swords. So I feel like you've got to be single-minded. You've got to just hone in on that one thing, you know, and that is that move and moving ahead. And knights are about movement. And it's just, you know, it's hard.
And it's hard.
It's hard, and I get that.
It's hard, you know, because our brains, you know, we're kind of trained that way as humans, and it's part of our nature to keep, you know, our focus and going back to, oh gosh, you know, now they want this. Oh gosh, now they want that.
Yeah.
Are they trying to do this?
Instead
of holding the focus on what we want to attract in, and it requires discipline, it requires ritual. And that's why, you know, like yesterday's show was on Friday was all about, you know, setting up a ritual 5 or 10 minutes before you go to sleep at night, or when you wake up in the morning, or both, or any time of the day where you can spend time getting in touch with your true self. But a lot of the things that we talk about on these shows and these techniques are techniques for reframing and also holding focus on attracting in what we want to attract, because it's so easy to slip into, you know, shifting back to the negative and focusing on the lack or focusing on what's going on in this situation.
You know, worry, things like the thing that makes it really crucial for someone in her situation is that fear and worry, you know, while they serve their purpose, right? You know, there's a purpose to them, sure. They also can have a paralyzing effect on our making progress on our own goals and the things that we want to have and the changes that we want to make. And so if we worry too much about something, sometimes we can get kind of stuck, and she doesn't need to get stuck right now. She's got to keep it moving.
Right. Keep it going forward. Yeah, yeah. So we're at the end of the show, but I want to check that 225 line and see if they came back. Is that okay, Mary?
Go for it. Who
they
is
didn't,
it?
They didn't pick.
Who's there?
They didn't pick up. So let's try to see if they'll pick up this time here. Area code 225. Caller, are you there? What's your name? Where are you calling from? Anything? Wow, it sounds like dead airspace there.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, actually, it's funny when we bring people's mics live, we usually hear a little bit of background noise at least or something, but it's like their mic is completely dead. So, you know, if you're hearing us, 225, we tried to bring you on twice. We're so sorry. It's something on your end with your microphone, whatever, you know, headset you're using or device you're using. I mean, there's no sound coming through at all. Anyway, so, boy, that was a fun show. I loved chatting about the question we're most often asked. I can't wait for next week, though. That's the
that
is tarot destroying your life?
Oh, no.
Yay! Be sure to tune in for tomorrow's show with Sharona. And actually, you know, I'm working on some other shows and setting things up for it. I got so much crisscrossed in my head. I got to bring up the list here. What is it? It's Jessie Driscoll, right? The Crystal Skull Tarot. You know, until she said, hey, I'm having Jessie on, I had never seen the Crystal Skull Tarot, actually. But I know about
it. Yeah, we're going to have to tune in. I think it was a Kickstarter deck. I might be wrong about that.
It might have been, but I know about the Crystal Skulls. I mean, I've been, you know, listening to Coast AM for 35 years, you know, and they bring on the Crystal Skulls, and I've watched YouTube videos and everything like that. And I looked at the cards. In fact, you know, when I was building the banner, I pulled an image of the cards. And to put on the banner, and it looks really fascinating too, you know. So
they're pretty.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Well, thanks for another great show, Mary.
Thank you, Dax. And thanks for all of our listeners out there and all our callers called in. And if anybody was in the chat room, I didn't even look at the chat room today. Make sure you join our Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group by going to psychictalk.net/Facebook and join the Tarot Guild group as well. Have a great weekend, Dax. I hope that you get some cool weather.
Yeah.
Going to be melting.
And I did want to mention that, the Tarot Guild is the sponsor of our weekend shows. So go over to our website, brand new website for you guys, thetarotguild.com. And it's 100% free to join. You get to use all the fancy features. Go over to thetarotguild.com/join and read about all the cool features on the website. We also have the premium membership, which is 40% off right now, $47. You can join the guild and get your tarot certification. We even have a course for you there if you're new to tarot. Go over to thetarotguild.com. All righty. Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Bye, Dax. Bye, everybody.
Good night, Mary Ellen.
Thanks, Grandpa.